souls. And it speaks and it refers to lower Sheol. And here in the Hebrew, in the Greek, it's called Hades, or what we call hell. Now, Lazarus here represents the Old Testament children of faith. And of course, we know Abraham, he's represented, he's called the father of faith. And all those that walk after Abraham, of course, want to be in the bosom of Abraham. Now we go on to verse 24. Notice, the beggar cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may tip the finger of his hand in water and cool my tongue." Notice, I am tormented in this flame. He's not fine. This is not a place of rest. And so he's hence. He is, the beggar here is typical of those wicked ones that go into lower. Either they were in Abraham's bosom or they were with the rich man in torment. Now, let's realize here again, there's going to be something happen at Christ's resurrection. And that's what we want to see. Abraham's bosom is also called paradise in Luke 23:43.
I am not the man. And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise."
This is referring to the same thing. Because remember, this is upper shield or Abraham's bosom. And there on the cross, Jesus told this thief that accepted him, said, "Remember me." So Jesus says, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." They're referring to the same place, which is, we would say, upper shield. Or Abraham's bosom.
And that's the same place as the heart of the earth?
Yes. Yes.
Upper Sheol or lower
Sheol? No. This is upper Sheol. Jesus did not go into the lower Sheol. Now there's some that try to teach that. They try to say that Jesus went down to hell and wrestled with Satan. No way. That's not true. He did not go to the wicked spirits. He went to upper Sheol, where Abraham was, Abraham's bosom, or what we call paradise. Now here's where we get that there's some different compartments. Some scriptures indicate that there's a lower compartment, even depths, in Deuteronomy 32:22.
"For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn into the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains."
So here we find, "There's a fire kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell," the lower Sheol. See what I'm saying? This word Sheol, the hell here, it should be translated Sheol. Unto the lowest Sheol. This is lower. It means the lowermost. It's the abode of the wicked dead, is what we're talking about. This is where the rich man went. And he was in torment, and it's burning there. It's a fire kindled. Now Psalms 86:13. I don't think you got that in your notes, have you?
Mm-mm.
In Psalms 86:13, it reads like this: "For great is thy mercy towards me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell," or the lowest Sheol. See, God has, that's what David's saying, "Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest Sheol." You see, that's why they're really pretty a clear indication that there's two compartments here of the dead. Proverbs 15:24.
"The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath."
Again, see that lower Sheol. Again, that word hell is translated hell. It would be better translated Sheol. "The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from the lower Sheol," or beneath. That word beneath means downward. It's the very low. It's the low, you know, lower Sheol.
But I thought that they couldn't get out of that. I mean, that he may depart from hell beneath. Does it really mean that he may avoid hell beneath?
I'd say he may avoid it, yes. I'd say that would be very well, yeah. You don't depart from there. But how We were all consigned to that. If we had not accepted Christ, this would be our abode when we die. Right on. Now in the New Testament, in Luke 8:31, Harb?
And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep.
Now here we remember these demon spirits. And they besought Jesus that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Now the word deep here is another meaning. It would be better translated the abyss, A-B-Y-S-S. We've all heard of the pit of the abyss. It refers to the bottomless pit. Now, the angels, in 2 Peter 2:4, the angels that sinned, that is, the fallen angels, were sent there in 2 Peter 2:4. That is, we'll find out later on in the lesson, this verse, we'll refer to it. So this is the abyss. This is the pit.
An angel was sent to hell?
Fallen angels.
Fallen.
When Satan fell, he took a third of the angels with him in rebellion.
Okay.
Now, there's some Greek words that we find that we might remember. We've also referred to paradise or of Abraham's bosom. Now that's referred to the abode of the righteous dead. Now Hades in the Old Testament and the New especially, Hades is a Greek word. In the New Testament it refers to the departed souls and it refers to the lower Sheol where the wicked dead are. Now, in the New Testament, all these words are translated hell. So you really get confused on what really he's referencing to. Another word is Tartarus, T-A-R-T-A-R-U-S. Now, Tartarus is the Greek word that refers to the deepest abyss of Hades. It's also referred to as the bottomless pit or the pit of the abyss. There's another word that's translated hell, and that's Gehenna. Most of these, this is all probably in your lesson guide pretty good. But Gehenna is a Greek word, and it refers to the valley of the son of Hinnom. Now this name here, this place refers to the state of everlasting punishment, or we would call it the lake of fire. And by the way, there's nobody in the lake of fire yet. It's empty, but it's going to be occupied before long. So we go on in Revelation 2, verses 1 and 2. Excuse me, Revelation 9, verses 1 and 2.
And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit.
Now this all takes place during the tribulation period in Revelation 9. Now in verses 1 it says the fifth angel sounded, and these were judgment sounds. These were judgment trumpets that the angels were sounding there. And when he sounded this judgment trumpet, a star from heaven fell to the earth. And this star here is none other than Lucifer, it's Satan. And when he comes to the earth, he has the key of the bottomless pit, or the pit of the abyss. Now remember, 2 Peter, we said that in 2:4, we'll find out that the angels were set up in the chains there. In other words, this Satan comes down and he opens up this pit and lets all these demon spirits out of this pit. And notice what he says there. He opened the door and let all these demon spirits out. And there rose a great smoke. And this smoke is these demon spirits. And notice the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke. Verse 3 says the locust came out of the smoke. I didn't write, it's in your Bible, but verse 3 says the locust came out of this smoke. And there was these demon spirits. What happens, we certainly don't want to be on earth at that time. We think it's bad now. But when all these demon spirits come loose out, at this time. But here, now, so we see that star there is Satan. But in Revelation 20, verse 1, 2, and 3.
And I saw saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season.
Now this angel here in verse 1 of chapter 20 of Revelation is none other than Jesus Christ. So I saw this angel, John said, and he came down from heaven. This is none other than Jesus Christ. Now when he has the key of the bottomless pit, just as Satan had a key to the bottomless pit, that means he had authority. He could open it up. Satan used authority to loose him, and now Jesus uses the authority over this bottomless pit, and he opens it up, and of course he has a chain in his hand, and he takes Satan, that old devil himself, and he puts that chain on him, and he bounds him up, and Satan is, during the reign of Christ, that 1,000 years, Satan will not be going about on this earth tempting no one. Why? Because he himself will be in the bottomless pit, and locked up there. He'll shut him up there. So that's what we find there. And we remember in 9, 1 and 2. And just notice, he shall not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. So during that whole 1,000 years when Christ sits on the throne reigning, and we the church will be with him in heaven, on this earth, people will be living 1,000 years. They will be born and live. They're going to be occupied. But the wonderful thing, Satan will not be tempting anybody. But there will still be rebellion, because the sin is still there, and rebellion is in the heart of man. But what we see, this bottomless pit, this pit of the abyss. We go to 2 Peter 2:4. This is, again, that pit of the abyss, or the bottomless pit.
For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment.
Now, here again, the word dark, the chains of darkness here is the word Tartarus, T-A-R-T-A-R-O-S, I think it is. Now, this refers again to that pit. It's the deepest abyss. It's the very darkest, the deepest pit in the earth. And it's in the center of the earth. So here, these are the angels, by the way, that in Revelation 9, 1 and 2, that Satan loosed. Evidently, they were so evil that God would not allow them to go and tempt the earth in this time. See, God literally set them up and they're sealed. They're the worst. Now, Revelation 20, verse 12 and 13.
I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works.
Now here, in Revelation 20, in verses 12 and 13, John says, I saw the dead, small and great. That means all the dead. What's going to happen at this time is they're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. Lower Sheol is going to be emptied out. You see, all the dead in Lower Sheol are in where the beggar was. Not the beggar, but the rich man was. Lower Sheol is going to be emptied out. In other words, everyone is going to be resurrected. Now this is the resurrection of the wicked. And they got out, and notice the books were opened. Now these books show their deeds on earth. Notice, in Luke 12, verses 47 and 48, Jesus says, to those that knew better and did not do it, you know, there's going to be degrees of stripes. In other words, there's going to be degrees of punishment in this for these wicked. Now if you look at the book, Moses, Exodus 32, verses 31 and 32, Moses said, blot me out of thy book. In Malachi 3, verses 16 and 17, also we find the books. God keeps, there's a book, so it's on record. But notice, And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, a lot of people look at this and say, oh, these are Christians, because we know we're written in the Lamb's book of life, and that's what it's referred to. But why is this book here? Well, does it mean that somebody could be in the book of life and still going into this judgment? No. But there's going to be some here that are going to say, hey, I accepted Christ. And they're going to say, well, let's look at the book. And they're going to lurk and search for his name. And he said, no, you never were written in the book of life. You never did accept Christ. See, this book is opened to show and to prove whether they're in there or not. And that's what it has to be. So the Lamb's book of life has to be there. Because if some are going to come and say, Lord, Lord, we've done many mighty works in your name. And Jesus said, he says, depart from me, for I never knew you. So you see, that book, the Lamb's book, is there just to prove that they're not there. And notice, and the dead were judged of those things were written in the books according to their works. And so that's what we say. It's a judgment according to what they've done. We'll read 20 verse 13, and there'll be the last one tonight.
And she gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works.
This is continuing on with the same what we just said. In other words, the sea is going to give up all the dead which are in it. And just think how many, I just wonder how many people have died in the sea. Man, you know, it's a huge number. But every body is going to be resurrected. Death. Now, death here refers to the grave. Everyone that has gone by there, the grave. And hell. Hell is Hades. It answers to lower shield. It's emptied out. They all delivered up the dead which were in them. And so, at this time, at the great white throne judgment, after the millennial reign of Christ, all the dead that's in the sea, in the graves, and in lower shield, everything is going to be emptied out. And they're going to be judged according to their works. In other words, their punishment is going to be according to their respective works. Now, we've got to realize the destiny of men is not according to their works. What is the destiny of men according to? Well, faith in Jesus Christ. It's if they've accepted Christ or not. That's what seals the destiny of men. But what we see here, the degree of punishment is going to be according to their works. I think that, you know, and I think Luke 12 verses 47 and 48 verifies this. So this, the great white throne judgment is not... There won't be any Christians at this place. We'll be there, but we won't be being judged. We'll be there in witnessing. So that's about all we've covered. Any questions or comments on what we've covered?
I was just noticing, like, the very first.
Okay. Okay, so we'll begin with Revelations 20 and 13 tonight as we go on with our lesson on where are the dead. And so we'll read Revelations 20, verse 13.
I don't have verse 13, I've got 14 and 15.
Do you have, what do you have, Barb?
I've got 14 and 15.
Just a minute, I've got my Bible here.
That's all right. I can read it then.
Okay.
Yeah, we do. Let's see, what is it? Oh, here they come.
Here they are.
So I think we begin here in Acts chapter 2, verse 21 and 31, as we continue on. We did cover Revelation 20, 13 last week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, Mary, you can start there. Oh, you got Acts 2, verses 27 and 31.
Oh, Max, it's on page 3 of 5.
Okay. Yeah,
Yours is not...
Acts 2.
Yeah, 27.
But thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. He, seeing this, before spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was
not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption.
Now today there's a teaching going around in Christians, some Christians, that are teaching that Christ literally went down into hell, that is lower Sheol, and wrestled with Satan, and there's where he got the victory. And that is strictly error. That's false teaching. And what we say, because Christ got the victory on the cross, is where he took Satan's power away, was on the cross. He did not go down into hell. He went into it says here in Acts 2, verse 31, that he went, notice, where we read verse 27, because that will not leave my soul, that is Jesus. This is direct prophecy here, and it says, that will not leave my soul, that is the Lord Jesus, he's speaking of Christ, his soul in hell. Now, this is Hades. It comes from the Greek word Hades, H-A-D-E-S. Now, it refers to upper Sheol, as we went through in the lesson before. You know where Sheol in the Old Testament times had two compartments, an upper and a lower. Well, Jesus went into upper Sheol, to Abraham's bosom, and preached, and we'll read that in another verses here. But notice, his soul would not be left in Hades, or upper Sheol. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. In other words, his body did not decay. He did not see. Notice, he did not see corruption. This is not Gehenna. This is not the pit of the abyss. Nor is it Tartarus. It's Hades, and that's what we want to emphasize. And what we know is it's Abraham's bosom. It's upper Sheol. We'll see more confirmation on that in later scriptures. In verse 31. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ. So this is direct prophecy concerning Christ, that his soul, that is Christ's soul, was not left in Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. And of course, what we see here is Hades in the New Testament. Also, there's lower. It refers to both compartments, lower and upper. But this is very specifically here. Jesus went into upper Sheol. So now we know he was in there. And Christ's spirit went into upper Sheol, and it was there 3 days and 3 nights while he was in the grave. His body was in the grave. Now, Luke 23:43.
And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Now, Jesus spoke this to the one thief on the cross, you know, that said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Well, Jesus spoke to this man, and he says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Not down there rest where Satan is, and where the wicked dead are, is certainly not paradise. So see, it is referring to upper Sheol. And it was today, at that very day, he's referring to Abraham's bosom. Now we find there's another word that's translated hell also, and it's Gehenna, and we find that in Jeremiah 7:31-32.
And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall be no more called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they shall bury in Tophet until there be no place.
Now this is prophecy concerning, we're leading up to is, there's another Greek word, and it's Gehenna, G-E-H-E-N-N-A. And it's also translated hell in the New Testament. But it's an entirely different place than what we've looked at heretofore. The word Gehenna comes from the valley of the son of Hinnom. Now we find there, if we look in 2 Chronicles 33:6, we find that Ahaz and Manasseh, they were kings of Israel who were wicked, and they actually burned their sons as burnt offerings in that valley. This is the same valley as we also know as Armageddon. It's called the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. It's a valley of slaughter. And in verse 32, there's direct prophecy concerning this, as he calls it a valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. And we know that when Armageddon's fought there, it's going to be a terrible, tremendous slaughter. Gehenna. Now, what is Gehenna? Well, it's the final abode of the wicked. Gehenna is not occupied yet. There's no one in Gehenna. Now, we find the first occupants of Gehenna will be the beast and the false prophet. I mean, the Antichrist and the false prophet in Revelation, where they are the first occupants of Gehenna. Now, in Mark 9:44-45, Jesus says, speaking of this Gehenna, he says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So this is the lake of fire, which we all know. When people say that they're going to hell, or like hell is occupied, hell or Gehenna is not occupied yet. Now, lower Sheol or Hades is, we'll find. And that's where the waiting judgment. So here, look at this. Now, Matthew 10:28.
And fear not them which shall kill thee body, but are not able to kill thee soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Excuse me.
Now, the word hell here in Matthew 10:28 is from the Greek word Gehenna. And it's referring to the lake of fire, or the final destiny, or the final abode of the wicked. It's called the lake of fire. And of course, see here, but fear him whether neither, notice here, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, to kill, and that's what is to be feared. Now, again, if we look at hell, this is referring here to Gehenna, the lake of fire. Luke 12:5.
But I will forewarn you, whom you shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him.
This word hell here is again Gehenna. It's referring to the same place. Matthew 13:39-42.
The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Mm-hmm. Now Jesus, given this, he's speaking of that this is called the end of the age, or the end of the world. It's really referring to at the end of the tribulation period. You know, the tares. Now we know that he's speaking here there's the harvest of the end of the world. That's in verse 39. The enemy that sowed them, that is the tares. Now, what this is called, the parable of the wheat and the tares. Now, a tare is what? It's a child of the devil. See, it was sowed by the devil. He come in and sowed this in the wheat. Now, the wheat is the true believers, the Christians. Now, I know that Brother Kevin knows wheat. And I know one thing. He's never seen a grain of wheat become a weed, have you? Now, have you never seen a weed become a grain of wheat? You see, this is why so many Christians are so fearful that they can become a tare. Well, it's just not possible. The tares are the sons of the devil. And he sowed them into the church. Sure, there's hypocrites. There's tares in the wheat today. But there's coming a day when there's going to be a harvest. And you know, God is going to go out, and notice, he separates. He goes out and he separates the tares. The tares are gathered in and burned in the fire. See? Now, and of course, we see here that, you know, that the wheat is going to be gathered into his barn. We see that in verses that we didn't list here. Well, the wheat is the true believers. Now, if you read that tare, you know, they said, well, shall we, the wheat come up, and I guess for a while, I've never seen what a tare really looks like. But they say it almost looks like wheat when it's growing. But then when it sets on fruit, and you can see what it is. And there was some come and said, shall we go out and just get the tares out? And they said, no, at least you destroy the wheat. Well, that's the same way today. I mean, in them wheat fields that we see, you know, planted all over, you don't go out and pull weeds out of a wheat field, you'd tear up the wheat. So God has let the unbelievers, they're in the church today, they're growing right along, they're in there, but you know what? They don't become a wheat, and neither does a wheat become a tare. And so, but there's coming a harvest time, and we notice what shall notice. Verse 41, the Son of Man, that is Christ, shall send forth his angels. Now them are, and they shall gather unto the out of his kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity. All the tares are gathered up. Verse 42, they shall cast them into a furnace of fire. And this furnace of fire is referring to the lake of fire where we know as the Valley of Gehenna. It's the same place. It's eternal punishment. Notice, it's wailing and gnashing of teeth there. Now, we find here in Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15.
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm. So here we find, at the final judgment here of Revelation 20, death. Now, death speaks of the graves. And hell, that is Hades. Now, Hades, Hades right now is occupied by the wicked dead, those that have not been saved. And so they're there waiting their final judgment. You see, there's coming a resurrection when everybody's going to be resurrected. I mean, that's a fact. Everyone that's ever been born of Adam and Eve is going to be resurrected. Now, we're going to look at that in the next lesson, the two resurrections. But you see, even the wicked dead are going to be, this is the resurrection of the wicked dead. And of course, all of them in Hades now are going to be resurrected and judged at the great white throne judgment. So the graves, that is death and hell, were cast into the lake of fire. In other words, everything that, all the graves are going to be emptied. Hades is going to be emptied out and judged. And it's all going to be cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. See, this is the final death. You and I, as Christian believers, will never experience the second death. We will not. But those that reject Christ will. There'll be no more graves, there'll be no more Hades, because they both will be depopulated. They will be emptied out. And notice, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So now we find, now the lake of fire is now the eternal abode of the wicked. In Revelation 21:8,
but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable were and murdered and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
So again, what we see here, the second death is called, again, it refers to the lake or fire, or we would say Gehenna. Now we find here the fearful, the unbelieving. Well, have I been fearful? Certainly. And you know, but this is not referring to Christians at all. The fearful, this is all of the old creation. That's what we want to see. And we are identified as that new creation in Christ Jesus. We're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, we go on now. Where are the dead as we go on? And we find out what happened to Upper Sheol, or what we would call, where Jesus... Now, when Jesus went into the heart of the earth, in 1 Peter 3:19, 20, and 21, we have Scripture where He went. And that's what we see here. In 1 Peter 1, 3, verses 19 to 21.
By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the films of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Now he's talking here concerning, in verse 19, remember, Jesus went into the heart of the earth. We know that. He was 3 days and three nights. He told the thief on the cross, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So this is what we see. Jesus went into paradise, as we see here. By the which, that is, by, and of course, by the which refers to the Spirit. By the Spirit also he went, that is, Jesus Christ went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now he went into Upper Sheol. Now, upper Sheol is here. It's paradise is the same thing. But he said Peter calls it a prison. And why was it a prison? Well, because the righteous dead up until Christ's resurrection were held in captive. And we'll see that later in the next verse here. You see, they were like all from Adam and Eve, all the those that came by way of the blood, their spirits went into paradise or upper Sheol, or we call it prison. And they were held captive. Why? Well, because here in eons of time is the cross. Now, from Adam back to the cross, they look towards the cross for their salvation. Well, we, beyond the cross, look back to the cross for our salvation. The cross is their salvation. But all of the righteous dead were in upper Sheol were there because they came by way of the blood sacrifice. Abel did. Cain did not. He refused it. And of course, he is in lower Sheol at this time. He still is there. And all of the unsaved. But the saved, see, they were the saved because of the blood sacrifice. Well, the bloods of bulls and goats, we read in Hebrews, never took away sins. It never took away one sin. You see. But it did atone for them. And the word atone, you remember earlier we had the word kapar, it means to cover. Well, the blood of all them bulls and goats covered their sins until Jesus. Now, when Jesus come, his blood it literally took away their sins. You see, they were shut up in prison until Jesus shed his blood on the cross. And he, what did he preach to them? Well, I think his message was that I have shed my blood. In other words, I have fulfilled all the types and shadows of what all them sacrifices meant. And he preached to them. He was the fulfillment of the ark of the covenant. He was the fulfillment of the ark that Noah got into. He was the fulfillment of all. And he was the Passover lamb. And of course, he come and he preached to them. And of course, by Christ's atonement on the cross, we're going to find that upper Sheol was emptied out. Paradise is now in heaven. But until this time, this is what Christ went and preached into the spirits in prison. Now, he was the Passover lamb. In verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient, which once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. So there, so evidently, you know, there were some, we know that Noah preached for, I think, 120 years about their coming judgment. Well, you know, he didn't get one convert. But you know what? After the rain began to rain, and when the rain got up, you know, I'm sure that they were people that repented and cried out for mercy. Well, they were there, and they received mercy. And so they were actually saved. And it's going to be the same thing in the tribulation period. There's people now that are rejecting Christ. But once the Christian overcomers are taken out, and when the evil begins to judgments fall, they're going to cry out for mercy, and they'll receive mercy. All they have to do is believe Jesus Christ. But you know what? They'll still pay. They'll still take on. They will still be. They'll still suffer the consequences of all these judgments. And it's the same thing in the Noah. You know, they could have got on that ark with Noah, but they did not. But when it rained, they still cried out for mercy, but they still drowned. And so they went into upper Sheol, where Jesus went and preached to them. Notice there were 8 souls that were saved by water. And of course we know that's Noah and his family. So, and by the way, 8 again is that new creation number. And of course that tells us. Notice in verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism also now does save us. You see, baptism is what saves us. Well, what does that mean? Well, what water baptism to us is a testimony of our identification with Christ our Redeemer. We identify in His death, burial, and resurrection. And that's what saves you and I. It ain't the putting away the filth of the flesh. It ain't cutting off the fleshly habits. What saves us is the like figure, even water baptism. And so now, and it's by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ fulfilling all the types and shadows, set the captives in prison, upper seal, free. Now we read that in Ephesians 4, verse 9 and 10.
Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things.
So Paul writes the same thing as Peter here in a different wordage, and he says, wherefore he saith, that is Christ says, when he, that is Jesus Christ, when he ascended up on high, he, that is Christ Jesus, led captivity captive. He went into prison and set them free. They were in captivity, those in captivity. He took them captive. He took them with him. And he gave gifts unto men. Now if we were looking on gifts, he gave some apostles, some teachers, some evangelists, and all for the perfecting of the church. So Jesus literally took captivity captive. And notice in verse 9, now he that descended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Christ, who ascended up from the grave. He was resurrected. He not only to come himself, but he brought the spirits that were in upper Sheol with him and took them into heaven. But he ascended. He also descended first. He was in the, as he were, into upper Sheol, that is the lower parts of the earth, and that he might fulfill all. He's the completer of everything. He completed it. Now, Romans 10:6-7 talks a little bit about this too. He tells us,
but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead.
See, and so what we is today in our conversation, we're not to say, well, I really take this away. You know, Christians make a lot of to-do about saying, well, he's saved and he's lost, and saying, you know, different, trying to make judgment on everyone, even Christians. Well, he never was saved. You've heard that. And I've said that sometimes. I have. But that's really not what I don't think we're saying. We shouldn't say in our heart who's going to ascend or who hasn't. To do that is to bring Christ down from above, and that was to come in the flesh. Or who shall ascend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. That deep here is the abyss or the pit, by the way. It's not Hades. Well, what is it we should say? Well, in verses 8, 9, and 10, if we'd have read them on there, it says, what we shall say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The word is nigh thee, if we shall believe. That's what our conversation. I think if you know whether a Christian is saved or lost, that's the Lord's business. Our word is to preach the message and to let God make the decision on who's saved and who isn't, because we don't really know. Now,